You are listening to KTEC 89.5 FM Klamath Falls. I'm Dominic Stone. I'm the station manager here, and we are here doing interviews for First Generation Students Week on behalf of TOP, the Tech Opportunities Program, here at Oregon Tech. This is our fifth interview of the week already, I think, and we got a couple more coming up. You can view our schedule on our website at ktec895.com. This morning, we have Lupe Presidio. Is that correct?
Lupe Preciado.
Preciado,
You're totally fine. No biggie.
Lupe Preciado. Lupe Preciado with us, and we're going to do the interview with her. Woo! Well, just to start off, Lupe, you are a staff member here, so major doesn't apply to you now, but what position do you work in here at the school?
Yeah, I'm here with Oregon Tech as an admission counselor. So I'm basically the point of contact to help students with their applications and any kind of inquiries that kind of come about as, you know, their prospect students. And I specifically have the Northern California territory, which kind of means I have most of California.
Okay.
California is huge, man. So other than that, Southern's like 8 counties. The rest is all mine. So, so part of the job entails, you know, traveling, going to high school visits, college fairs. And yeah, so it's been fun though so far. I mean, I recently got hired in the summer, but it's been a blast so far.
Awesome. Yeah, so you've worked here for 6 months. How did you make your way to Oregon Tech and Klamath Falls?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Marvin, California, southeast of Bakersfield. It's pretty like San Joaquin Valley. Went to school, got my degree at UC Merced, but I really got into retail management. That's kind of been my career experience thus far. With that, I've been able to work with companies like Aeropostale, which does a retail clothing line, and also Vans, the shoe and skateboard company. So I worked in Ventura County over like Camarillo Outlets, Thousand Oaks Mall, ran my own store for Vans over in San Luis Obispo. Crazy cool fun time. Lots of stuff. I know retail doesn't seem like a fun thing sometimes to people, but I enjoyed it, and it's mainly been because of the people I've met, the connections, customers. Like, it's very, you don't know what you're going to get into the next day.
Yeah.
And I think I found a lot of joy in that. And really importantly, making connections and communicating. And I guess that's where I learned a lot about being more compassionate, learning more about people.
Yeah.
And I think life is full of about the relationships you build, you know? And so it was a crazy, awesome, fun time. But I decided to kind of take a small break and kind of re-self-define myself. So fortunately, my husband works remotely, and we've always been interested in like smaller living, nomadic living. So we decided to do full time in a converted van. I only did some of the work. My husband did most of the work building that out. So he's awesome. He literally did it out of like a labor of love and everything. So if you're listening, thank you, honey. You're the best. So we were able to kind of travel full time. But we didn't really have a tail end of like how long we're going to do it. And literally this summer, we've visited Oregon before, but we're trying to keep cool because we only have like one fan in the rig. And don't get me wrong, it's not like a super stellar rig, but it's not super basic. It's kind of in between a high roof. Like there's some amenities there, but it's not super, super fancy.
The high roof is important.
I mean, it just kind of depends, and there's other things like if you are interested in van living, which once again, isn't for everybody. But if you are, you also have to just consider all the things that you look for and what fits your lifestyle, and are you adaptable to that? Because, you know, the fact is you kind of have to think about when you're going to get water and when you're going to shower and all your bathroom breaks. Are you okay with it? Like, we had a compost toilet. Some people might not be comfortable with that. So I digress. But we actually stumbled upon Klamath Falls, which so happens to be home of Oregon Institute of Technology, and figured, hey, let's settle down some roots. And we actually purchased our first home here, so we're kind of in it for at least a good while.
Yep.
And with that, now I got a new mortgage, new job, career, kind of all worked out. And luckily, being with the admissions office has been really fun. They've been really understanding and caring. And I also see that kind of environment everywhere in here on the university, so it's really great to be a part of that. But when you specifically work with your department and everyone's so cool and caring, it just makes it so much better, no matter what kind of job you have, right?
Yeah, that's definitely Well, that's one of the reasons I like working at K-Tech, because I like everybody I work with.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If I didn't, then it'd be like, okay, bye. I have no investment here anymore.
Yeah. And you should. You know, at the end of the day, you spend a lot of time for work and stuff. There's other things you do, but why not enjoy what you're doing, enjoy the people? And once again, it kind of goes back down to the relationships that you build around it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyways, so I'm sorry, where did you say you went to school at?
Oh, I went to UC Merced, so that's kind of more probably like another hour and a half away from Fresno or so, right in the central heart of California. Yeah, so I ended up going there, got my degree in business management with a minor in creative writing. Honestly, I think school was just kind of, I mean, everyone's going to have their own journey of how they get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was like, seems like just the step that everyone was doing, society, that kind of vibe. I don't feel like I was an academically like inclined person. I wasn't terrible, but yeah, even then, like when I did apply, I just felt like it was something that I wanted to pursue. And I was also part of Avid since I was sixth grade. So that kind of helps a lot, especially since, well, this whole conversation is about first gen, right?
Right.
My parents, they are originally from Mexico, Guanajuato, like from there, from that area. And they probably got up to like sixth grade level education. And I'm actually the youngest of eight kids.
Wow.
So growing up, most of my siblings, they kind of went straight into the workforce right after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking back at childhood, it was good. It was a good childhood, but we were not rich by any means. It was very low income, very rough. And Arvin, California specifically, does have like a very populated Hispanic population. Most people that are there usually are migrant farm workers, so it's very much that culture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And students, you know, obviously, the first generation of that with the students there, they go to school to kind of pursue a better future, because once again, that's kind of why parents came out here for them.
Yeah.
And so I was fortunate enough, especially being on the younger tail end, because I feel my siblings kind of felt like they needed to get out there and work, and maybe they didn't felt like they had the luxury. Only my other sister, who got her bachelor's degree at Cal State Bakersfield, is into accounting. One of my brothers actually is still pursuing his education, but everyone else kind of went into like a work profession to make the bills, right?
Yep.
And so I kind of felt that I had an opportunity to go to the university. And I think also being the youngest of eight, coming from like a practicing Catholic home, and also having the Hispanic heritage, I kind of just wanted to break out.
Yep.
I wanted to find my own independence and my own individuality. You know, I mean, once again, I had a good childhood, but I wanted to explore something more.
Yeah.
But I was scared, like a lot of kids are. So I kind of felt that UC Merced was kind of similar as far as town size and the culture of what Bakersfield would be like, but it's 3 hours away, which means no one's going to just show up randomly.
Right, yep.
So it was kind of a strategic move, too. but also, I think, and it's kind of funny now that I think of it, but an admission counselor also came over to my local high school at Arvin High, and they, you know, kind of gave their little spiel, and I was like, oh, that sounds cool. I think I could adapt there. Like, I wanted to feel comfortable, and so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt like, why not? It has the UC name. It had opportunities there as far as research. And I mean, originally I went in as natural sciences because I was really into like hydrology and stuff. But I ended up going into business because I suck at chemistry. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you figure out what you like and what you don't
pivoted.
Like.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because as soon as, like, once again, coming from a low income family, like my parents couldn't afford anything to help me with that. So I kind of knew right away I was going to get, like, student loans,
mm-hmm.
but I really wanted to be very thoughtful and mindful about it. So I just kind of took it on as, you know what, a lot of kids my age probably spend a lot of money on, like, sweet rigs and cars.
Yep.
I'm just going to take that in mind and invest, you know, go into debt, but invest that as if it was a nice car, but I'm going to get a bachelor's degree at the end of the day. So I think for myself, I ended up probably around, like, 20, 21K after I was done with school. Which felt like what I wanted around, what I wanted to be in.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was kind of rough to also think about as well at a young age. And
mm-hmm.
oh my God, even more happened throughout all that, to be honest. I actually lost my admissions to UCM. So I am someone who somehow always got placed in really high math, and I'd always skim by.
Okay.
Always skim by my C's. So by senior year, I was taking statistics.
Mm-hmm.
I should have not been in that class. Let me just tell you that. it was good, but like everything, I was just like, oh man. And so my last semester, I literally earned a D. And because it's a UC, if you have a D, that's it. They revoke it.
Is that the case in every UC school?
At the time, I don't know the whole case, but because it is a math course, and at the time I think they were still doing 4 years of math,
mm-hmm.
and if you were deficient on it, that was it.
You're just cut?
Yeah.
What?
Once again, it also kind of depends on the competitiveness.
Yeah.
I don't recall everything. It was a while ago.
Sure.
But it was devastating at the age of 17.
Wow, yeah.
You know? And all my other friends, they were more academically inclined and very excited. So they're all going, you know, like, I'm going to UC Chico or I'm going to Chico State. I'm going to UC Irvine. I'm going to Humboldt. Like, they were all doing those things. And I was super happy and excited for them. But then there's this part of you where, like, I just f***ed up.
Yeah.
And what am I going to do next? So I ended up having to just take transfer courses because... I really wanted to pursue it and keep going. The other side of that story, unfortunately, was the same summer that I graduated from high school was unfortunately the same summer I lost my brother. He actually suffered from leukemia for about, like, he was battling leukemia for about 8 years.
Mm.
And, so I remember just... how happy and excited he was about when I was getting my admission acceptance for all my colleges. And it kind of stung even more when I lost it at that point in time. But it also made me motivated,
yep.
You know? So I kind of just picked myself back up and I was like, well, I'm going to go there. I'm going to do it. And so I just... you keep moving forward and you be resourceful, right? And luckily it all worked out. I went in the spring, but looking back at it, like it sucked. That summer was a very hard chapter in my life, but
I'm
extremely thankful for the love and the kindness and just everything that Jose gave me, because it really did motivate me to push myself into to do what I needed to do. And so I have a lot to be grateful and thankful for him. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's kind of going all over the place, right?
Oh, no, it's totally fine. Well, we're reaching about the halfway point of our interview here, which means it's time for me to ask you, do you have a favorite song that we maybe like to play since we are a music radio station primarily?
Yeah. I've been really into the Betts right now. They're a New Zealand band. And so expert in Diet and Field, and it's just an amazing song, so check it out.
It's an interesting name. Let's see what the song's about.
It's good.
About.
I promise you'll like it.
I've never heard it. I'm interested. Expert in a Dying Field.
Can we erase our history? Is it as easy as this? Plausible deniability. I swear I've never heard of it. And I can close the door on us, but the room still exists, and I know you're in it. Hours of phrases I've memorized, thousands of lines on the page, all of my notes in a desolate pile I haven't touched in an age. And I can burn the evidence, but I can't burn the pain, and I can't forget it. What does it feel to be an expert in a dying field? And how do you know it's over when you can't let go? You can't let go. Memory, the water will never run clear.
Check it out.
All right, that was Expert in a Dying Field. I really like that song. I might put this. Is the whole album good?
Oh my god, yes. That came out their latest album. So dope.
Just, you said they're Swedish?
No, they're from New Zealand.
New Zealand, okay.
No, seriously, they're great. Check them out.
All right, I probably will. Maybe yeah. We'll add it to the automation here. We're looking to buy like hundreds of new songs this year to add to our like regular playlists.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll make the cut.
Yeah, we can talk more after.
Maybe we should. All right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to KTEC 89.5 FM. I am here doing interviews for First Generation Students Week, and we are here with Lupe right now. We're about halfway through our interview. Now, Lupe, another big interview question for you. How do you maintain a good perspective when life gets tough?
Oh, my gosh.
Because I'm sure it gets tough for everybody.
Oh, my God. Yes, it does. And I don't know. You know, like, the fact is, it happens to everybody, right? Like, it's everyone has their own individual journey. And I think as someone, I grew up always, like, thinking, and I think overthinking is a problem for me. So a lot of times I have to really reflect inside and slow down. And even to this day, I take the time to even just meditate for, like, a little bit as well and kind of just absorb everything. And a lot of times I like to read like self-help books specifically because there's a lot of little good nuggets in there. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of that helps me keep things in perspective and really fill myself with gratitude, because the fact is life is so crazy and so messy, but at the same time, that's what it could be anything. Mm-hmm. And that there's a lot of beauty in that. And when things get hard, hopefully we surround ourselves with the people that love us and care for us. And so it's really important to know what's going on and put yourself in that place, because there's times where you're just so stuck in it that you are like your own worst enemy.
Yeah.
And you can't pull yourself out. And that's why really building relationships with other people and relying on them to help you up. I know for myself, I've been married for about 6 years now. We just celebrated our anniversary. Nice. And so I feel like, once again, it doesn't have to be like a romantic partner that you have, but like having someone to just be that person so that they can listen to you, because when they're down, you're there to pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a relationship that really just helps you keep it together, because
yeah.
no one has their shit together 100%, and you can only do so much, and that's why you got to kind of go out for outsource help as well.
Indeed, mm-hmm. Yeah. I know my first term here was spring term 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I only knew like one person on campus.
Yeah.
Which wasn't like bad. Like it wasn't a hard term for me, cause I signed up late, so I was only able to take like 11 credits.
Mm-hmm.
But so most of the time what I did was just like either hang out in my dorm room, cause mm-hmm. I had a single room, or like go on really, really long walks, like up to the O Hill, that direction.
Yeah.
And I did that like a lot because it just, I didn't have anything else to do or anybody to do it with for the most part. So having those connections is really important. After I made friends, college became a lot more enjoyable.
Definitely. And I think that's one thing to know, whether you're first gen or anything like that,
yeah.
Transitional period, join clubs and orgs. It mm-hmm. can be uncomfortable to push yourself out there, but that's how you make the connections and lifelong friends. Even back at my university, I participated with Hermanas Unidas, which is a specific nonprofit chapter that are located in other universities as well. And that's how I ended up making my friends. To be fair, when I first made my friends, they were all fun and cool, but they were too fun and cool, if you know what I mean.
they're the starter college friends.
Yes, yeah. But they were super sweet and nice. But then I was realizing, hey, my study habits aren't healthy. I'm not, you know, and I was like, you guys are cool, but I also need other friends and other circles. And so I joined a club, an organization, and that's how I met my two best friends that I still speak to this day. They were my bridesmaids in my wedding, Christine and Monica. I know you're not listening because you're like super far away. But at the end of the day, that's what brought me my best friends, you know? And so you never know what kind of relationships you can build just by putting yourself out there. And especially when you're at a young age, at a university, it's an opportunity.
Yeah.
But also take that in other places, because even afterwards, it's kind of easier at the university. It's still kind of uncomfortable, but it's easier because at least you're kind of in the same mind, like what clubs you're going to, they have the same similar perspectives and goals. So, you know, you're connecting with people that you can connect with, but are different, but a little similar. So it right. helps bridge the gap. When you're adult or like once in the real world, it kind of gets a little harder to like friendship date.
Yeah.
And that could be more intimidating. So
yeah, there's very few real world equivalent of just like clubs where people get together to yeah. hang out.
But at the end of the day, that's more reasons to do the hobbies you do. You
yeah.
know, if
yeah.
you really like painting, do that, connect with people. If you go to the library often, or, you know, like, I don't know what people do anymore, rock
yeah.
climbing,
yeah.
like doing outdoors stuff, invite people over. And
if you have a hobby, it's likely that there's a local Facebook group mm-hmm. for it as well. I mean,
yeah.
if you look around, there's all sorts of people that would probably like to do the hobby with you.
With
if it's
you,
something
yeah.
like that.
So I think that's important. Like
yeah.
whatever you're interested in. And I have a bad tendency of when I pick something up, I know I'm going to suck, but you know you suck at the beginning. That's
yeah.
why you keep doing it. And so it discourages me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important to get over that
yeah.
and just do it, because it's going to open you to a world of new opportunities and passions and also people.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, kind of related to that, one piece of advice I would give to anybody going to college, I guess, don't go to school with your friends. Because if you do that, having friends in high school and having friends that you're going to know for the rest of your life are two different things.
Yeah.
Or even just in college, like
mm-hmm.
not even necessarily for the rest of your life. I didn't go to school. I don't think there was like, I think two people from my high school that went to my first college.
Mm-hmm.
I transferred. But they, I felt like, having that, like, okay, I already have friends, so it's like there's no reason I need to like go out and make more, like I'm at my quota or whatever.
No.
it's not a good mindset to get in, and it's gonna stifle you.
Yeah.
In probably at least the first term, maybe the whole first year.
Yeah.
And I know, at least for me at first, like the idea of clubs just kind of sounded stupid,
because
mm-hmm. I was never in really any clubs in high school or anything.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, it's organized friendship ?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It seemed weird at the time
yeah.
until I joined one.
Yeah.
And then now it's fun.
Yeah.
There's like 80 clubs here at Oregon Tech. Like there's a ton of them.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and if you don't see something that's already here, what, get three other people, right? Or
yeah.
four other people, three to four, and then an advisor?
Yeah. I think it's five people
oh, okay.
is the minimum this year.
Got it.
Five or eight. I don't know. Probably five.
But point is, I'm sure you'll find somebody out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, we got time for about one more question
okay.
here. This is also kind of a big one.
Oh, no.
how has being first generation enabled you to navigate different spaces and roles? This could be academically or professionally or just like life in general.
I think for people who are first generation, it's very much just a pioneering experience,
mm-hmm.
you know? And in some ways, my parents did that own pioneering experience just with life, like moving over and starting over. I think they came over to California in like the 70s with broken English, you know, like that's scary. But if they can do something like that, I think it's also inspiration for those students who are continuing education. And it's like, yeah, I don't really know this world very well, but I'm gonna do it, right? Like, I'm just gonna go.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna go for it. And so I think there was a lot of just that inspiration from my parents. And once you're in it, you're kind of just in it, but you got to keep pushing through. And you know, once again, everyone has their own background and walk of life, but I'm grateful for it. And I didn't know where I was going to end up afterwards, but after my first semester, because once again, I took out loans, I was like, well, I'm in it.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like the phrase, what C's get degrees, I was like, it doesn't matter what happens, like I'm gonna cross that finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of always saw too, and there's some people who are very much into their studies and push for, and they have a lot of plans and they have their life planned out, that's awesome. And,
yeah.
and if you get all those things, great. I was just trying to complete something.
Mm-hmm.
That's really it. But that alone is a huge accomplishment because not everyone can, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's completing something and then there's completing college. I mean, that's that's a big thing. It takes years and years and a lot of dedication to get through that.
So I think it's there's a lot of mixtures of like what kept me going, and that's the family inspiration of it, the debt.
Yeah.
But also, once again, I was looking for it for my own self-discovery, and I really felt that college was a self-discovery moment for me, making new friends, understanding how relationships work. During college, I had my first heartbreak, and that was brutal. It was also my first experience that I actually ever did counseling, like therapy counseling. And it was not something that I ever, like, I knew about it, but I never really thought it was something that I was ever going to explore. But it was something I did, and I felt like I hugely benefited so much about. So once you're in this new academic setting of the university, there's so many new windows and things that you've probably heard of, but now you're actually open to experiencing them. And so I just took it as that, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's something kind of sort of a common theme, not verbatim, but through the people I've interviewed so far, it's like, why do you go to college? Because my parents came here, they inspired me, like, if they can do it, so can I. It's a inspiring common thread that all the interviewees seem to have so far. Yeah,
because we love our parents.
Exactly. You know, that's a good thing to have.
Yeah, right? Definitely. And you know, sometimes some people don't, and so you gotta have that gratitude of them.
All right, well, Lupe, we're coming up on 10:30 here, so we're going to have to close out our interview for today. But thank you for being here.
Yeah.
And those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. This has been K-Tech's interview series, well, K-Tech and TOPS interview series for First Generation Students Week. We got two more coming up this week, one more at 4 p.m. today. You can find the schedule on our website at ktec895.com. This interview and all of the other ones we do will be posted also onto our blog at some point next week after I get the time to edit them. So you can check them out for later listening. Until then, you've been listening to KTEC 89.5 FM Klamath Falls. Have a great rest of your day.